our Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. This few weeks we've been taking a few moments each week to reflect on a passage in 1 John. Decided today to read the whole of the chapter 3. Or 24 verses. You'll find this on page 1226 if you're following in one of the church Bibles. Otherwise, I'm sure some of you will be looking it up on your phones. So 1 John chapter 3. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and we receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Amen. Let's just pray for a moment. Father, we pray that what we have read may become for us a living word, taking root within us and granting life to us. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen. So God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. This is how John, the writer of this epistle, sums up the message that he has been communicating throughout his life. This is how he sums up everything that he knows about Jesus. How he sums up the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus, the miracles, the prayers, the daily life, everything about Jesus, the transformative power of Jesus. He sums it up in these words. God is light. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. And I love this because we can get so complicated about our faith. And there can be all sorts of questions that we have and all sorts of theories that we may adopt and struggle over, and questions we ask and doubts that seem to cling to us. And yet this one truth shines through. God is light. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. And we rest in that truth, in that reality, that God is light. Now later in this letter, John will say not just that God is light, but God is love. God is life. And these simple statements are for us food for our souls. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Well, today in chapter 3 of this letter, what do we have? Well, I've summed it up in 3 words. Hope abides visibly. Let's say those 3 words together. Hope abides visibly. Let's say it again. Hope abides visibly. 3 separate words, but they kind of go together. Hope. Hope we are God's children today and we are transformed as we journey on the way. Chapter 3 begins with this wonderful statement. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And it doesn't end there. And that is what we are. The love of God lavished upon us. We are God's children right now, right here. We are God's children. You are a child of God. Now just let that sit with you for a second. Don't worry about your neighbour. Just let that sit with you. You are a child of God. Loved unconditionally. Loved absolutely by God. Now this is wonderful in itself. But the extraordinary thing about love is that if love is love, then there is no transaction involved. There's no "I will love you and you can be my child if." You know the statement, "I love you, comma, but." You ever seen that? Dot, dot, dot. You annoy me intensely. "I will love you if..." dot, dot, dot. For love to be love, there are no ifs and no buts. There is no transaction involved. God loves because he loves. My hope is built on nothing less than the love of God. My hope is built on nothing less than the love of God. Now, you know that I was away last weekend in Boston, Massachusetts. and I was participating in a large biblical studies conference. And at these large biblical studies conferences that I go to two or three times a year, there are many different ideas that are shared, people sharing their deep research. And yet what I know through it all is simplicity. That God's love is true. Whatever questions I may have, whatever questions other people may pose, this shines through, that I am loved with an everlasting love. And that love holds me where I am. One of the greatest theologians of the last century, and it may not be a familiar name to us, but in scholarly circles, very familiar, a man by the name of Karl Barth, who was a Swiss theologian. And he wrote many millions of words, seeking to understand the nature of God and how God relates to us and how we together as the community of believers form the church. And towards the end of his life, he was taking part in an interview, and he was asked, could you sum up the many millions of words you have written into something simple for our listeners to take away? Now, ask a theologian, you know, you're going to get an essay, aren't you? But this great man, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me. That's what he said. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And part of me thought, you could have said that in the beginning. But sometimes we need a long journey to get there. And to recognize, we explore and we journey. And we come to this conclusion. We find ourselves right where we began. I am loved with an everlasting love. I'm loved by a faithful love that asks nothing of me but tells me I am loved regardless. There is no transaction that means I will be loved if. But I am loved. I am loved. And you are loved just as you are. There is nothing that separates us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. We are God's children today, and all of our hope rests on that God loves us, and we are God's children today. But not just that, we are transformed on the way of following Jesus. Verse 2, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. We will be transformed. We stand on this hope, this rock. I am loved. I am a child of God. Even if I never responded to God, I'm loved. And that is true of love. It demands nothing. It just says, you are. But when we realise it, and when we begin a response, when we begin to journey, to ask the question, to begin to figure out, what does it mean for me in my life? That I'm a child of God, that I am loved with an unfailing love. What difference does it make to me? How then should I live? And we are told, as we journey, we know that one day we will be like him. We will be like Jesus. Now, how will we be like Jesus? Jesus, of course, living 2,000 years ago in ancient Palestine under the imperial rule of the Romans, a very different experience to the one that you and I are living today in the 21st century. What does it mean that we will be like him? Certainly, we're not going to look like him. We're not going to have, in a sense, a lifestyle like his. And yet there will be something about us that will echo with the life of Jesus. I think what it means that we will be like him is that the same love that was found in Jesus and experienced by those in need who met Jesus will be found in us. The same kindness that was seen in Jesus and experienced by those around him will be found in us. The same goodness and mercy and forgiveness and generosity, these are the things that are being transformed within us. And so it will be said of us, you remind me of someone. Wouldn't that be great if somebody said that to you? You remind me of someone. And that someone is Jesus. Because the character of Jesus is found in us. And so we live on this hope, this sure and certain hope, that we are God's children today because God loves us absolutely. And he says to us, I love you. And as we respond to that, so we begin to be transformed because we know that one day we will be like him. And we don't want to hold back. We want that transformation to be taking place for us and in us even now. The second word, hope, abides. To understand that we are children of God, to know that I am a child of God, for you to know that you are a child of God, is about accepting a new identity. Accepting a new identity. When we accept a new identity, we begin to behave differently. Perhaps before, those of you who are married or in a serious relationship, before you were married, you could flirt with this person or that person and it didn't really matter. There were all sorts of things that you could do, but once you were married, your identity changed. And you said, there are some things that are no longer appropriate for me that were okay before, but my identity, I accept. My new identity has changed. And so I will live in a new way. And when we are told and when we understand we are children of God, we say, what does that identity mean for me? That I am a child of God. How should I live today? And it is about renewing our behaviour. Behaving in a way that reflects who we are, reflect that new identity. And this is where, from verse 7 onwards, the writer is talking about sinfulness and righteousness. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, and so on, because they have adopted and accepted their new identity. And that takes a radical shift sometimes in our minds. I have a new identity. I am a child of God. I am loved by him. And I will abide in Jesus. And all that means is we will put our roots deep down into Jesus. And we will seek to draw in his life. In John's Gospel, chapter 15, Jesus speaks to his disciples and encourages them there. abide in me. Abide in me. And that's more than just resting. More than just staying. You know, we might say, somebody might say, where are you going? Well, I'm going, you know, I'm going to the Cotswold. I'm going to abide there. Is that what you say? I'm going to abide there for a moment. We don't say that. Might say we're going to rest there. But to abide somewhere is to find our home. Is to find a place not just of rest, but a place where we put down our roots. And Jesus in John 15 encourages his disciples, abide in me, and I will abide in you. Put down your roots. Read the Gospels. Reflect and respond to the life and the teaching of Jesus. Allow his life to become your life. Be transformed by the Spirit of Jesus as you draw on his life. Hope abides. And then the third word is visibly. Hope abides visibly. Because our hope, our sure and certain hope, did I do that? And say, oh, there we go. For the sake of the tape, I just accidentally turned the screens off. We have this sure and certain hope. God loves us as we are, and we are children of God. We are being transformed into the likeness of Christ, that the character of the Lord Jesus, as we abide in him, as we put down our roots into Jesus, we draw his life into ourselves, and we are transformed and changed. We have adopted a new identity. We have said yes to the identity that God gave us in the beginning. But all of that is to no avail if it is not lived out in our life and our actions. Verse 18, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Maybe you, okay, maybe you're in the habit of saying to those around you, I love you. Maybe that's a habit you have. Speaking the words, I love you. And I've said before that I grew up, I don't know whether it was a particular generational thing, but I grew up in a context where I never heard those words, those three words, I love you, said to me within my family. And so when my daughter was born, Zoe, and I stood by very proudly as she was born, of course, and then midwife picked Zoe up and gave her to me. First three words, I love you. Because I knew I had to communicate something, not just for her, I had to say it for me. I love you. And I continued to repeat those words to Zoe. And then when my son was born early in the morning, very, very quickly, and he just got to the hospital on time, but it happened to be the very same delivery room that Zoe was born in, with the same midwife who helped us with Zoe's birth. And as soon as Isaac was born, I held him. I love you. And I'll repeat those words. And they're important. They're important. And yet the Bible says, let us not love with words or speech. Those three words are so important to be able to say, I love you. It does something not just for the person hearing, but for the person speaking as well. But in some contexts, those words can be so used. We hear of somebody's plight. We hear of a disaster. We hear of a struggle. And what are the words that are often repeated? Our thoughts and prayers are with you. You heard those words? Thoughts and prayers. I want to say, what's the good of thoughts and prayers? And what they need is food. What's the good of thoughts and prayers when what they need is shelter? What's the good of thoughts and prayers to those parents of children who have been shot in schools in the United States when what they need is guns to be found? Let us not love in words and speech, but with actions and in truth. There's an expectation that the hope that we have, that we are God's children, that we are loved by God, and that has transformed us and continues to transform us, and we are accepting of that new identity, and we are renewing our behaviours that day by day we might better reflect the life and the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. So also, there should be something visible about our actions, that people should be able to see that we love. People should be able to see that we belong to the Lord Jesus. Love is the sign. Love is the sign. Again, to somebody like myself, who spends time as a biblical scholar. If only the sign was some great thesis. If only the sign was some great understanding. But it's not. It's love. The sign is love. Love makes the difference. That final word, reassurance, we love. This is how we know. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. This is how we know. It is by loving. And saying, well, I may not understand. I may have all these questions. I may doubt from Monday to Sunday. But I love. In indeed, deeds and actions. And that is my simple reassurance. So our encouragement today, three words. Do you remember them? Hope abides visibly. Hope abides visibly. May the love of God and the light of God and the life of God fill each one with the presence of Jesus.